Throughout his long career, writer Stanley Elkin won wide acclaim for his 16 books, including the National Book Critics Circle Award for his novel, George Mills. Our own book critic, Maureen Corrigan, says Elkin's final novel, Mrs. Ted Bliss, will no doubt garner its share of raves, but it probably won't win any awards from the Miami Chamber of Commerce.
I've always meant to read Stanley Elkin, along with the 1,000 or so other authors who are on my must-read list. People who've recommended him always praised his Yiddish-inflected humor, his comic touch with cosmic truths. But often, death does what all the word-of-mouth recommendations and publicity promos can't. It's perverse, but when I heard that Elkin had died this past June, I felt more compelled to read his posthumous novel, Mrs. Ted Bliss. Based on this one Elkin experience, I'd say that if, like Jim Morrison, Emily Dickinson, and James Dean, Stanley Elkin's popularity skyrockets after his death, he's a writer who deserves it. Elkin's heroine, Mrs. Ted Bliss, is a widow in her 70s who finds herself caught in the midst of a culture war being waged within her Miami condo complex. Most of the condos are owned by retired Northern Jews like herself, but recently, wealthy Colombians and Chileans have been moving in. The old-timers try to be welcoming. They even hold rec room socials like Hands Across the Panama Canal Night. Mingling between the two groups, however, is minimal, until a Venezuelan named Señor Chitral makes Mrs. Bliss an offer on Ted's old Buick LeSabre. Mrs. Bliss sells and shortly thereafter finds herself the key witness in a cocaine trial. It turns out that the debonair Señor Chitral thought the Buick would make an ideal dope locker. Other outlandish incidents follow. There's a platonic relationship between Mrs. Bliss and Ted's old butcher store partner. There's the requisite Passover family blowout scene and even a King Lear-like ending involving Hurricane Andrew. But no matter what extraordinary incidents befall Mrs. Bliss, Elkin makes his readers understand that growing old itself is more bizarre, more absurd, more dumbfounding than practically anything else that can happen. You think getting involved in cocaine trafficking is so strange, Mrs. Bliss might say? Try waking up one day and realizing that most of your loved ones are dead and that you're incontinent. That's when life really starts getting psychedelic. Actually, I shouldn't put words into Mrs. Bliss's mouth, because Elkin has given her such a marvelous voice, any imagined dialogue is just chopped liver. It sounds lame to praise Elkin simply for being able to write realistic speech. That is until you realize how much of other fictional dialogue sounds canned or self-consciously flashy. Elkin here masters those little exchanges that speak volumes. For instance, when Mrs. Bliss goes to a therapist for a consultation, he asks her what her interests are. Cooking, Mrs. Bliss replies. Mexican, continental, Japanese? What sort of cooking? Supper, coffee, dessert, cooking. What else, asks the therapist? Breakfast, lunch, not now, not so much. To me, those lines evoke not only Mrs. Bliss's personal history, but a whole generational worldview. All throughout this novel, I kept thinking of another line by another great old dame, Betty Davis. Old age ain't for sissies, Betty once said. Sure seems that way, although if, like Mrs. Bliss, you manage to hold on to your sense of the ridiculous, it can afford some last laughs. Meanwhile, before more time goes by, I'm going to stock up on Elkin and call my mother.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University. She reviewed Stanley Elkin's novel, Mrs. Bliss.